Colossians chapter 1. I pray that you, so far, I know it's, what, 10 hours or so, 11 hours into the new year, but I pray that so far you've had the happiest new year ever. You know, what a blessing it is in the providence of God to gather together on the first day of the year, right? January 1, to gather together on the Lord's Day to start out this new year, gathered together celebrating the Lord. And of course, today, here in a few moments, we will have the great joy of celebrating the Lord's Supper together. So whether you stayed up, how many of you guys stayed up only to see the ball drop at 11 a.m., which is 12 Eastern time? That's me. Okay. All right. Did anybody get like crazy and stay up until like, what, 1 or 2 o'clock to see the Pacific Ocean or the Pacific time zone? Anybody see that one drop? Because I know they were doing a new thing this year. We had one over here at least. They were doing a new thing with each time zone this year on TV. How many of you guys said, forget all this craziness, I'm going to bed at a regular time like a decent human being? I saw one of our sisters post that 9 o'clock is the new midnight, right? At 9 o'clock, it's 12 o'clock somewhere, all right? So let's just head on to bed. But you know, no matter how late you stayed up, no matter how much you got together with friends and just had a good time last night, as the calendar rolls around, you and I cannot help but have a sense of excitement coming into the new year, right? January 1, the new year, always brings in a sense of excitement, a feeling of optimism. It's like a time to start again. Now, of course, there are still pessimists out there. I saw one friend say yesterday evening that now is the time to tell everyone all the things that you're not really going to change in 2017. Now, while that may be keeping it real, we just brush the pessimists off, don't we? Because it's a new year. It's a time for optimism. It's a time for hope. You know, as a football player in high school, and I know there's been a lot of football watch, there's probably going to be some today, and whether your team won or lost yesterday, at this point, we're coming into the new year, high school and college, right? That there's that optimism of the new year. It always carries over into the locker room. Always carries over with it, where off-season training is beginning to begin in January. All across America, high schools and colleges and universities are going to begin their off-season workouts for the 2017 football season. They get started early, and so they're going to hit the weight rooms. They're going to be on the tracks. They're going to be jumping on boxes and throwing weighted balls and all sorts of crazy agilities. I mean, these strength and conditioning coaches, the stuff that they can come up with is wild. One year in college, our coach hooked us up with a Ty Bowe instructor in the off season, and also, I don't know if it was the same year, I don't know if he's just like on this kick or what, but he also hooked us up one time with a Pilates instructor. Now, if you want to see something funny, if you need a laugh, you should watch a room full of weighty, heavy, offensive linemen trying to do that Pilates move. You know what I'm talking about, where you lay flat on your back and then your torso and your legs are supposed to come up at the same time to make a V? Man, you want to laugh. You ought to see that, man. The noises and the smells that came out of that room, man. It was bad. It was bad news. It was just bad news. But all of this time, all this effort, all this sweat, in the weight room, and in the gyms, in the aerobic rooms across America in the football offseason is for one goal. And that goal is to become bigger, stronger, and faster. Bigger, stronger, and faster. But you know what? It's an opportunity to grow, isn't it, right? I mean, the design is to make you the best athlete you can be so that come fall, you'll be a better football player. Bigger, stronger, faster. But that concept, I believe, as I think about it, as I've thought about it this week in preparing to preach to you guys this morning, that's not just for football players, is it? Bigger, stronger, faster. I think that it translates over very nicely into the spiritual realm, right? I believe there's a connection there. And so as you think about growing, these football players hitting the gym ready to grow, I ask you this morning, are you ready to grow? As you set your goals or resolutions or aspirations for this new year, they should be geared for growth, shouldn't they? They should be geared for growth. They should include becoming spiritually bigger, stronger, faster. In fact, that's today's takeaway this morning. In 2017, we need to get bigger, stronger, faster. I believe that's exactly what God is getting us toward in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And if you would, please, would you stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning? This will be our text this morning that I'll exposit. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. The Apostle Paul writes this. God, through the Apostle Paul, says, "And so from the day we heard," of course, this is Paul speaking for him and Timothy here. "And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Let's pray together. Father, as we read your word, we ask that it would not stop with our ears, but that it would get into our brains and then work down into our hearts, where we would love your word, and then that would come out into our lives. God, thank you for the word of God to give us instruction, to help us, to give us guideposts and direction for life. God, we want to live a life that is fully pleasing to you. So I ask today, God, that you would help us as we come to Colossians 1 here. It's in Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen. Invite you to be seated. So bigger, stronger, faster. That's what Paul was praying for the Christians in Colossae. That's what you and I should be praying for the Christians in Eastwood, for Christians in Bowling Green and the surrounding areas, in Scottsville and the surrounding areas. I'm praying that you and I will get bigger, stronger, faster. Did you see that in the text? Did you see it in the text? Well, let me show you what I mean as we turn to it. First, let's think about getting bigger. I know some of your resolutions are actually to get smaller, okay? But here's what I mean. First, when we think about bigger, I pray that our knowledge of God will get bigger. That our knowledge of God will get bigger. That's exactly how our text starts out, isn't it? I mean, look here with me at verse 9. Paul says, Colossians 1, 9, "And so from the day we heard it, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Essentially, what he's saying here is that he's praying for their knowledge to get bigger, right? That they would be filled. That's growth language right there, isn't it? Right? That's bigger language, okay, with the knowledge of God, to be filled with the knowledge of God, God's will, God's wisdom, God's understanding. Now, I want you to notice very carefully, church, that he does not pray that God will get bigger. He doesn't pray. We should not be praying that God would get bigger. No, beloved. You see, God, our God, doesn't need to grow. Our God, our unchanging God, is already immense. He's already vast. He's all present. He's almighty. He's already beautiful. He's already glorious. His perfections are manifold. He is the very essence of infinity with no beginning and no end. And so God doesn't need to grow, but our knowledge of God, that's what needs to grow. That's what needs to get bigger. You see, if you and I were to begin today, January 1, 2017, if we began today to try to exhaust the knowledge of God by December 31, 2017, 365 days roughly, 1 year from now, if we were going to try to exhaust God by the end of the year, you and I would have only begun, right? We would have only begun. You see, the knowledge of God is inexhaustible. You cannot get to all of him. And it was what I mean here, right? You can't fully understand him. You see, now we who are in Christ, we'll have forevermore with God, right? We will have eternity future with God, but even then we will never exhaust the knowledge of God. But that does not mean that we should not try. We should try, shouldn't we? Even though we will never reach the goal which we set out for, which is to exhaust the knowledge of God, we'll never do that. We should nevertheless try like crazy. Christy and I, we married in 2002. And we had our honeymoon in the Bahamas with my Bahama mama. I love being with my gorgeous bride on that gorgeous island, that gorgeous beach. Well, one day, she and I, we paid to have a Bahamian captain who said, Bahamian captains, just so you know, Americans, he never goes down with his ship, okay? That's what he said. So he said he would be the first one off the boat if it went down. But we paid this guy, and some other folks paid him as well, to take us out into a boat, and we were going to go snorkeling out in the ocean there. And as we were going out and as we got to our destination, we were about to dive into what seemed like an infinite ocean. Oh my goodness, it's so big, it's so vast. I mean, everywhere we looked, all we could see was water. There was no way we could touch the bottom of the ocean. And as far as we could see in every direction, it was just water upon water. And as we prepared to jump off the boat into the water, you know what? It never dawned on us that the vastness of the ocean would deter us from enjoying the ocean. You know what I'm talking about? You get what I'm saying here? We never said, well, I'll never experience all of the ocean. It's just too big to enjoy. No way, man, right? We dove right in. We enjoyed maybe, what, like 200 cubic feet of the ocean? I mean, it was like playing in a kid's pool almost, right? I mean, when you think about perspective, I mean, the whole ocean, I mean, just wrap this number around your mind for a moment. We maybe experienced like 200 cubic feet of the ocean, of the Atlantic Ocean, but the Atlantic Ocean has a volume of 73.3 million cubic miles. And we experienced only about 200 cubic feet. In other words, we experienced a drop in the bucket. Just a drop in the bucket. But you know what? We had a blast in that drop of the bucket, right? I mean, we swam, we played, we went under the water, we saw fish and all sorts of other cool stuff. And so I declare to you this morning, church, as we come into 2017, although God is vast, although God is inexhaustible, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, dive in and enjoy every drop that you can experience. Every drop of it. If you'll do that, it will absolutely change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. I pray that your knowledge of God would get bigger in 2017. Now, if that's going to happen, you're going to have to commit yourself to learning in 2017. Commit yourself to learning. I mean, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, aren't you? Right? Aren't you? Isn't that what you are? I mean, the word disciple, translated from the Greek, mathetes, which means learner or pupil or student. And so to be a disciple of Jesus is to be a student of God. You need to study God. Part of your mission every day when you wake up, your goal should be to learn something about your Creator, your Savior, your Sustainer, that your knowledge of God would get bigger. That means you need to commit to reading. That means you need to commit to listening, right? Read books on theology, read books on Christian living, listen to great preachers, expositors of the Word of God, come to Bible fellowship, come to the worship gathering where the Word is going to be preached. But most of all, do not neglect in this coming year to dig into this. You yourself, alone with God, swimming in the vastness, but enjoying every drop. I pray that for you. I pray that for you, but I don't want you to just get your knowledge from the books. And yes, I mean, yeah, the knowledge is here, and this is the ultimate knowledge, but I don't want you to get your knowledge of God simply from the books. I want you to have experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge, you see, there are different learning styles. We learned about this in school and all that. And some people are book learners. I mean, for me, to be honest, I'm a book learner. If I read it, I can go do it, okay? Show me instructions, okay? And I can read it and go do it. But others of you, you are experiential learners, right? I mean, I could read it to you. I could hand you instructions. You're like, that means nothing to me. It's like, you know, chicken scratch. You had rather be hands-on. You're a hands-on learner. You're an experiential learner. I think that's what Paul prayed for himself. In Philippians 3:10, Philippians 3:10, Paul prayed this for himself, that I may know him, that's God, Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection, and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He prayed that he would know him, not through a book, but through experience, right? Paul is asking God to grow in his experiential knowledge of God. And when we do that, we've got a whole new knowledge, don't we? That's gained, you see, through a life lived out in relationship. So if you're going to grow in your experiential knowledge of God, here are just a few things to hang your hat on. That means that there's going to be prayer to God. That means that there's going to be dependence on God. And there's going to be joy in God. That's that experiential aspect of the knowledge of God. So I pray that your knowledge of God in all aspects will get bigger in 2017. Bigger, stronger, faster. So that was bigger. Let's focus now on getting stronger. So second this morning, I pray that our spiritual lives will be stronger, will get stronger. Look at verse 11 and 12 in our text. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, in order for football players to get stronger, they got to hit the weight room, don't they? They do squats, they do curls, they do bench presses, leg extensions, tricep extensions, all sorts of other workouts. They have to tear down that muscle, break it down so that it grows back stronger. It really is amazing when you sort of study the physiology of how God has designed our bodies to get stronger. And when people really get serious about getting in shape or even bodybuilding, it's astonishing what the human body can be transformed into. Yesterday, a lot of countdowns. I know we counted down, you know, to the new year and all that, but yesterday I was kind of sitting around a little bit and in between honeydew lists and all that stuff. I was watching a countdown on Fox Sports of the top 200 Ultimate Fighting Championship mixed martial artists. I don't know if you're into that or not. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but man, these dudes and a few ladies, oh my goodness, they were all unbelievable specimens of human strength and human athleticism. But you know what? As they counted down every one of them from 200 to number one, every single one of them had at least one loss on their record. I mean, guys like Anderson Silva, 33-8, George St. Pierre, 25-2, John Jones, 22-1, Chuck Liddell, 21-8, Randy Couture, 19-11. I mean, these guys are some of the biggest, strongest, fastest people on the planet. Yet, but for at least a moment, right? At least for a moment, they weren't strong enough, were they? They weren't tough enough. But I say to you this morning, church, beloved, listen to me. God never lacks in strength. He never falls short. He never loses. He's omnipotent, the Bible says. His strength never waxes or wanes. And God is offering you in 2017 his strength. You don't have to hit the weight room to gain this strength. You simply have to hit your knees and beg Almighty God, who is above, to rain down his strength on you. Think about some of the most spiritually strong people you've ever known. I bet a lot of them were physically weak, weren't they? Weak as a mouse, man. As I think about some of the people in my life who have been spiritual giants, they do good to pick up 50 pounds, okay? I mean, not that they weren't strong physically at all, but spiritually. Man, it's not about human strength. It's about turning to the great giver of strength, right? God Almighty, as Paul says here in Colossians 1:11, that you may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You see, it's not our strength, it's his strength. And so, if we're to get stronger in 2017, it'll be by God's strength. You see, your strength will run away, but God's strength will abide. Your strength will grow weary, but God's strength will endure. However, I want you to notice here in our text that one of the channels to get God's strength is, according to Colossians 1:12, look at it, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So it's not be strengthened and give thanks. It's be strengthened by giving thanks, right? You become stronger by giving thanks. Think about Ezra and Nehemiah. You probably have this verse memorized. They told the post-exilic Jews in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord will be what, church? Your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, brothers and sisters, think about this. Joy in God strengthens you with all power according to God's glorious might. The joy in the Lord fixes your heart and your hope on God. The joy of the Lord guards your life against the enemy's schemes. The joy of the Lord brings you closer to God. David said this, Psalm 22, verse 3. Speaking of God, he says, yet you are holy. And notice this, enthroned on the praises of Israel, your people. There's a closeness there. I mean, he is inhabiting his throne, inhabits the praises of Eastwood Baptist Church. The joy of the Lord reminds you of who you are in Jesus Christ. Notice again the text. You have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. And when that hits you and you begin to rejoice in it, you're filled with God's strength. I'm not sure what you faced in 2016. I mean, I've seen a lot of talk about how bad 2016 was, about all the people that we lost, all the celebrities, and maybe the election didn't go your way, or the financial market didn't go your way, and so maybe you're just glad that 2016 is gone. And I definitely don't know what'll come your way in 2017. I don't know what is coming, but this I do know for sure. When you face difficulty, trial, tribulation, whatever you faced then in 2016 and whatever you will face in 2017, you can endure, you can overcome by becoming stronger in the strength of God. And so I pray that our spiritual lives will be stronger, bigger, stronger, faster. We looked at bigger and stronger. Let's focus finally on faster. So finally, I pray this morning that our obedience to God will be faster. That our obedience to God will be faster. Paul is talking about bigger knowledge, and he's talking about stronger strength, but it's not knowledge just for knowledge's sake. It's not strength just for strength's sake. It's for a purpose, and that purpose is spelled out for us in verse 10, Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, guys, God wants your joy to be full. And there's no greater joy than to walk in the obedience to God. That's where fullness of joy is found, right? I pray that my life, that your life will be lived in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. That means that you and I take very seriously the truth that our very lives are an act of worship. Yeah, this is worship, but it's a worship gathering, right? We come together to worship, but as we go out every second on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, on throughout the week is an act, a moment of worship. Every second you're worshiping God, whether you realize it or not, every second of our lives is declaring something to the watching world about God. So I pray that you and I will live in a manner that communicates the greatness of God, the worthiness, the infinite worthiness of God to have a holy life lived before him. When we do that, that communicates the greatness and the worthiness of God, the worth of God. Perhaps your 2016, guys, was filled with a lot of in a minute, maybe, and no way. Maybe God called you to obedience and your response was, yeah, God, I'll get to it in a minute. Or maybe it was, maybe, God, maybe. Or perhaps you even said to God, God, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. No way. Let me ask you, in those moments when you told God in a minute, maybe, and no way, how'd that work out for you? I bet it hurt, didn't it? It always does. It always does. You know, I ran from God, calling me to obediently repent and believe on Jesus for like 6 or 7 years. Finally, at the age of 17, I trusted in Jesus. But how much heartache would I have missed? How much disobedience and missing out on blessing would I have avoided if I had simply obeyed God in 1990 or 1991 when he first called me? And I say that to you, right? If your 2016 was filled with heartache and all these things because you said, in a minute, God, maybe, and no way, then I pray that your 2016, there will be a fastness, a quickness to your obedience to God. Parents, just think about this for a moment. How angry does that make you when your precious little son or daughter looks at you and says, in a minute, Dad. No. I said take the trash out now. Yeah. I'll get to it. I got to finish this right now. Can't you just feel your blood pressure rising? Okay? Man, believe me, I know. I know all about it. Beloved, listen. When your blood pressure rises, when your child says, in a minute, maybe, and no way, that anger that rises up in you is a righteous anger. It is a reflection of the righteous anger that God has toward you and me when we respond to him in the same way. And so I pray, if your 2016 was filled with wait a minute, maybe, or no way to God, I pray that 2017 will be different, man. I'm sad to say that at times in 2016, that was my response. That was my response. But I pray that 2017, that our obedience to God will be faster. Do you want to be blessed in 2017? Do you? Do you want to be blessed? Well, listen, blessing is found in fast obedience to God. And the first step of obedience always is for the sinner who is apart from Jesus Christ to repent of their sin and to believe on Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning, and through the preaching of the word and the witness of this congregation and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you have come to understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, then I pray that you will not hesitate. I pray that you would not tell God, tomorrow, God, or maybe, God, or no way, God. I pray today would be the day that you would quickly, in obedience, receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Bigger, faster, stronger. I pray that over your life. I pray that over my life here in 2017. Here's my final prayer, and we're going to transition here in just a moment into a time of celebrating the Lord's Supper. My final prayer as we head into the Lord's Supper is that you would grow this year to the glory of God. Are you ready to grow? Then dive in.